Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. We're back with another episode here on our Charlotte Soccer Show YouTube page. It is Thursday afternoon as of this recording, Danny. Only a few days away from what is looking to be, Danny, one of the most beautiful spring days of the season. The supporters, they have really battled against some cold weather, some nasty wind in the first two home matches of the season. And I got to tell you, Danny, I cannot wait to get to Hot Fly for our pre-match tailgate, for our pre-game show, because the vibe on Saturday looks to be immaculate.
Yeah, they say, what do they say in this match, in this game? They say you put in the work and you get your reward. And we have put in the work of suffering through two very cold Saturdays in the Queen City for our two previous home matches, and it's looking beautiful. For Saturday at 7:30, we're taking on FC Cincinnati. We have another very special guest. This is an indication of how big this match is. This is like the third preview of this match that I have done this week. And we're honored to welcome another very special guest from Apple MLS Season Pass. And as we like to do on this show, I always go digging. When they tell us who's going to come be our guest, I say, all right, I get to work and I go digging back. I try to go as far back as I can with these folks. And this one's a little different. This is the Charlotte Soccer Show Vault has a new entry that hopefully will make you smile. Hopefully you can tell what's going on here. I had to edit a little bit out, but we'll see.
Let me tell you about Tony Husband. He's talented, award-winning. He's got fans all over the world. And he's a Manchester United supporter too. You've realised it's probably not me. In fact, it's the original Tony Husband, one of the best-known cartoonists in the industry.
He suggested we try a brief job swap. I had a go at his business. Tony's challenge was to describe that goal.
Oh, and Ian Turner now with the goal kick straight up the field. It's a high one. Lou McCorry goes, Lou McCorry's missed it. It drops to Jim McCalliog, who hoofs it forward. And Bobby Stokes, he's scored. I cannot believe this.
Well, there we go, Tony, our first cartoon. I'm quite pleased with it. I'm not sure about the full-time score, though. But anyway, do you want the last word?
Tony Husband, BBC South Today, Hyde.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tony Husband to the show. How are you doing, Tony?
Oh, great. Thank you. And that was an excellent deep dive, I have to say. I was thinking back. I wonder what you might have been able to find. And that's a really good one. And the late, great Tony Husband, it was fantastic. And do you know, when my wife and I were moving over to the US, we had to get these visas to be able to come in and for me to be able to actually have a work permit. And an old friend of mine got in touch with Tony and said, you know, Tony's leaving England, he's going to the States to move and start a new job. And our visas were called Aliens of Extraordinary Ability. He got Tony to do me my own cartoon, and it was a picture of me dressed as Superman and my wife dressed in some other kind of superhero outfit. And we were at a US immigration desk, and they said, Tony and Helena, welcome. You are aliens of extraordinary ability. And that's a framed Tony Husband cartoon that is very, very precious to me. And he's a super guy, but great digging. Great digging there, Danny.
Fantastic. That's what I do. And you are an alien. You're now a regular of extraordinary ability, as you've been calling Nashville games for years. And you joined Apple MLS Season Plus as that got going. Season Pass, I should say. And you worked for BBC Match of the Day. One of the things that we want to talk to you maybe a little bit about is you have had a passion for American sports, you know, your whole life as far as calling NFL and Major League Baseball for the BBC. Would love to know a little bit about that flip, but we're here mostly to talk about Charlotte at Cincinnati, and I can see John getting itchy already. So this is the second time you've called us. Our friend Ross Smith, who we made friends with him last week, he's your partner in the booth, and we can't wait to. We won last week, so really glad to have you guys back, Johnny. What do you think about this matchup?
I'm absolutely pumped about this matchup. And one thing I want to do before we start talking about the match on Saturday is relive what we saw this past Saturday.
Just Rossi. He's just been off the mark tonight. The header down into the path of Westwood to hit it. A brilliant goal for Charlotte. Here's a chance for Adjumang, and he absolutely roots it. Charlotte go from MLS Cup winners to Shield winners when they host Cincinnati next weekend. That game, Saturday, 7:30 on MLS Season Pass. But for now, the crown, conquer the crew.
Absolutely. A brilliant work, Tony. Just a pleasure to hear you call both of those goals and give the final rundown at the end of that match there. A great line that was. And it's so nice to have both you and Ross on the call on back-to-back weeks, right? Because it gives you an opportunity to really dig into the crown. So that's where I want to start. What impressed you about the club on Saturday night against Columbus? And what do you expect them to bring from that match into the match against Cincinnati on Saturday?
Well, I think my first impression coming back was I'd only been to Charlotte once before last year and during the Christian Natanzio reign. And I would say Christian, fascinating guy to sit down and talk to. And was very, very good with his time. But I just felt coming back to Charlotte this year, for the first time really since the club's been in MLS, just been a little bit of a feeling of a little bit more calmness around the club, a little bit more stability. A little bit more of a focused direction and a solid path, and just a very big impact that Dean Smith has made in a very short time. He's somebody, you know, he arrived in December in terms of being appointed, but everybody says about his directional path is just very clear. Everybody's clear in what they need to do, what the target is, where the club wants to go, and also the fact that he's managed to work with coaches who in many ways he's inherited or have come to the club that he hasn't worked with. He's not just brought half a dozen guys from England over with him because he's always worked with them. And the way he's been very collegiate with work on the training ground, he tells them what he wants and he's letting them get on and do it. So I just got a feeling of togetherness at the club that maybe I hadn't seen in the first couple of years. And that was reflected in the performance on Saturday night in many ways, because I think what they did was they didn't kind of go into a panic mode. Oh, we're playing against 10 men, so you know we've now got to change everything and we've just got to start trying to score goals. They didn't panic. They left it late and eventually they wore them down enough and a couple of great strikes get you the win.
Yeah, you saw the graphic I popped up there, Tony, because this is how we say it down here. Dino's at the wheel. That basically sums up everything you just said. And I love that you use the word togetherness, because that's a word that has come out of Dino's mouth a lot.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I mean, he joked with us last week. Obviously, he shares such a great famous coaching name in North Carolina. So he was laughing about how he's already found a highway named after him and things like that, you know. But it gives you an idea. He's settled into the area and you know, he has the place in Myrtle Beach. He's got a little bit of background. His son's been in the state as well. So, you know, he's not just parachuted in, you know, just to the next job with Charlotte. I think this is something he's really come to do as a life experience, a coaching experience, and it's in an area that he actually does have an interest in and cares about. And I think you can see that reflected in the way about in which he's going about the job. And you know, this is a good moment. You know, everything is in such a good place in Charlotte. I mean, I'm so pleased to be coming back, and I hope I'll be coming back many more times, because I love the match day atmosphere. I think that the fan base is fantastic for such a young club. And, you know, the stadium is big, but that almost seems to just challenge the people in the area to come and try and fill it as much as possible. And so, you know, it's a tremendous, tremendous project that's going on there. And you just feel now, though, it's kind of got a little bit of foundation underneath it. And fingers crossed, the only way is kind of to move forward now.
You use the phrase parachuting in, and I think sometimes that has a negative connotation. And I promise what I'm about to say is the opposite of that, right? Because you're in a position, Tony, where you get to parachute in across all of MLS in your role as a play-by-play commentator for MLS Season Pass on Apple, right? So I love to talk to people like you about Charlotte FC and how this club compares to the rest of the league. You offer such a great perspective on that, from the fan base to the actual roster to the manager. So far, what you've seen this season in MLS, where does Charlotte fit into the picture?
I think they fit in as far as they look to me like a reflection of their coach. And I think any team that does that is going the right way. I think it comes from the top. It always does. If your head coach has got a clear identity about himself, about what he wants to achieve, if he's doing his job well, you see it reflected in the team. And I think that's what you see reflected in the team right now with this Charlotte group. I see organization. I see a bit of pragmatism in there that is required to get results. I see a team that is likely to be very difficult to get results in Charlotte. And I think that is the first point that you want with any team. You want to win home games and certainly not lose them. And Charlotte now, actually going back even to the end of last season, in a really good place when it comes to playing at home. So those are the positive things that I would take out of having seen Charlotte so far. I still think, you know, there is depth there that could be added. I think, you know, throw in a few injuries to most clubs and, you know, you're going to see a drop off in certain areas of the field. I think Charlotte are no exception there. It's going to be really interesting to see how well Abada and how quickly he can settle in and just add a little bit more quality onto the field. There's a workmanlike quality, I think, to Charlotte, which is going to do well for them in MLS, but it's obviously going to be one that needs to evolve and add a little bit more quality on the top as time goes on. But I think, you know, I'm saying things that Dean Smith he's five steps ahead of me on. And we know, you know, that he will have a plan for all this and he will have a very, very clear idea about what he wants from this team. And I think he's set them up right now to say, this is what we're going to do. And then we're going to evolve from there.
So here's what I want to know, sort of building on what you saw in the building last weekend. The game was very much, yes, we were very joyous and euphoric, even, you know, getting the 2-0 win against the champions. But there was a point, you know, 80th minute before Westwood's goal there, where it was nervy time. It was squeaky bum time, you know, as they say. Like, because if we somehow were to lose to 10 men at home, then all of a sudden it's almost like it was the difference between a cliff and a rocket ship, is kind of the way I described it. And so, you know, I love the way that you call that out. You couldn't seem to sense that by on your call of the Ashley Westwood goal, which was just let the moment soak in. When Westwood scored, you just really let the crowd milk that moment on the broadcast, which I thought was a very veteran announcer move by you. And what do you think, though, from having watched this game, are we more likely to win against Cincinnati, or do we take momentum with us from the manner in which we were able to beat Columbus?
Well, thank you on the goal call. I think it says a lot about Charlotte that, you know, the atmosphere is so passionate, the stadium reverberates. And I think sometimes, you know, commentators can be guilty of trying to find too many words in a moment. But there wasn't really anything else to say other than, you know, it's a great goal or whatever I said, you know, and then just leave it and let the crowd and let the atmosphere take over. A little secret on Patrick Adjumang's goal, by the way, as well. Spoke to him on the Friday and he actually referenced how he would put the hand up to his ear for if he scored, and I said, oh, you know, what do you mean by that? And he just kind of said, it's just telling everyone, you know, like, I'm here. And he'd done it obviously in Next Pro, call Pat. So I had a tee up on that, and I knew something like that would come. And I had two or three thoughts about maybe what I would say. I don't like to kind of write things down specifically, like I will say this if they score. But I had it in my mind, well, if he does score and he does go up to the corner and he does do that, then, you know, perhaps I have something in, you know, think of something to say in the moment about the call. So, you know, that's just an insight into kind of some of the prep work we do with our job. But no, it was, I think it was, it's momentum now going into this game, without a doubt. I wouldn't have been overly, you know, on the face of it, if you hadn't got the two late goals, you could have come away saying, look, that's disappointing playing 10 men. But what I would say is Columbus, for me, are the best team in MLS, without a doubt. And I include Miami in that. Okay, you could put Miami's kind of superstars all on the field on one day and they could play at their absolute best. Maybe they win that game on a given day. But I think overall, Columbus are the best team in the league. And you saw the quality and the confidence they're playing with, that they didn't necessarily get too distracted by the fact that not only did they have a man sent off, but they also lost two starters to injury within the first 30 minutes or so of the game. So an awful lot of things happened to throw them off their stride. And it's a measure of how good they are that they actually were very much in the game. So, you know, if it had finished 0-0, I wouldn't have said that would be a reason to be kind of getting all, oh, this is not good enough. You know, I think that there would have been a context to it. So.
Thank you. Putting my heart at ease there, but I was nervous, man, and that was the euphoria I felt, was like winning felt like joy and relief at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, obviously, you've got to come up with a penalty taker. You know, somebody who can convert these penalties, because you don't want to keep missing penalties.
Don't make me play it, please. Yeah. It's
almost like you watched our Sunday show at Hopfly this past Sunday when we did our match recap. There was a moment in the show that Danny Brams, he had a full beer. We were sitting on the couch at Hopfly and he looked straight into the camera and he says, Dean, I want to know what you're going to do next. I don't care who takes the PK. You got to pick somebody and put him on the spot. It feels like Patrick Aujamong and Ashley Westwood are probably in the running for the next PK if we see one on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I guess in time, maybe Abado comes into that. You want to have somebody who has got a bit of confidence from 12 yards out. And obviously, that wasn't a great penalty. I mean, maybe a bit of justice done. It's so funny, isn't it, how this game works sometimes. I mean, you know, you arguably on the rough end of some decisions in Nashville, certainly a penalty decision. And then you get one of the softer penalties that I've seen last weekend. Yes. And then you miss it, you know. So yeah. It's amazing how these things do, you know, they do, to quote the old cliche, and us English, we love our cliches when it comes to soccer. Things do have an amazing way of balancing themselves out.
Yeah, they certainly do. And while we have you here, right, and I think the best part about talking to a play-by-play announcer and a color analyst, your partner, Ross Smith, is that when you're preparing for these games, you're really doing a deep dive on both teams. And while we're so close to the sun here in Charlotte thinking about this squad, what can you tell us about Cincinnati? You say Columbus is by far and away the best team in MLS. Where does Cincinnati fall in on your power rankings? Obviously, the reigning Supporters Shield champions, but they lose a ton of players heading into this season, but they've managed to get results and are unbeaten through the season so far.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you certainly, you know, these have been hard games to have at home for Charlotte. I mean, you go from, you know, the MLS Cup winners to Supporters Shield winners. And, you know, this week's it's Cincinnati arriving. I don't take too much notice of standings at this point. But, you know, if you wanted to, they are top of the East right now. They are undefeated. Right. Goals have not been coming as frequently for them to start this season as perhaps they have in the past. But then, you know, when you sell Brandon Vasquez, you can't just replace him with a click of the fingers. But I still see a team that's thriving off the confidence of last year. Again, a team that Pat Noonan has, you know, really turned around fast. And I suppose if you're looking at Dean Smith and, you know, an example of what you can do with the right coaching and the right players and the right organization, you can turn things quite quickly in MLS. So that would be the incentive, I would say, with Dean Smith and Charlotte. You know, you could turn things around quite quickly and go from the lower reaches of the league quite high, you know, without having to wait too many years. So, and Pat Noonan's done a wonderful job there. But he's also, you know, they've got one of the best players in the league, without a shadow of a doubt, in Acosta. So having silenced Cucho last week, you've now got to try and do Lucho this week. So it's going to be interesting to see how you tackle that Cincinnati group. They'll have Miles Robinson back, I suspect, after international duty. They're getting results away from home as well. Sometimes, you know, everyone's talked about the CONCACAF Champions Cup being negative for teams early in the season because they're playing a lot of games. That's true, but it also means they're getting a lot of reps, and players will always tell you they'd rather play than be practicing all the time. So I think that now that they're out of that competition and they're focusing on the league, those early season games against the likes of Monterrey actually now become a benefit to them because they're in gear, they're moving forward, and, you know, there'll be a difficult proposition. So I suspect this is going to be another quite tricky game and probably not decided by too many goals.
Now, I don't know. There's something hurtful about being wounded by your former player, though. Your own former player knocks you out of a big cup competition. That's got to be an emotional scar for sure. Now, you said you don't write down your calls, Tony, in advance, but that Cucho-Lucho connection, I'm sensing something there that I'm going to be listening for in the pregame on Saturday for sure, because there's definitely a connection. I want to talk a little bit about your life and your calling, your commentator philosophy. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, you called NFL games and Major League Baseball games for BBC Radio back in your home country. Tell us a little bit about your history and what got you interested in American sports and eventually coming to America to broadcast an international sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's a story, you know, it really starts with the growing up in a certain period of time in the 1980s in England, which every time I say that now, it feels like it's longer and longer ago. Yeah. It doesn't feel like that long ago to me.
Spoiler alert, it is, Tony.
Yeah, sadly. Sadly, it is. Yeah. In the 1980s, English soccer, you know, our national game and our biggest game, you know, was mired in a pretty bleak period. You know, the stadiums were dilapidated. They were falling down. The game was barely shown on television. You know, I think people over here still sometimes can't comprehend it. If I was to tell you that, you know, during an entire English Division I season, with what would now be called Premier League, you know, there were a couple of years where there were no games live on television at all. It was only highlights. And then gradually moved to maybe a few more games were on, the odd game. But, you know, there was nothing like what we're used to in the 21st century in terms of exposure. And as I mentioned, the stadiums were dilapidated. There was violence. The game was blighted by hooliganism. And it was blighted also by some tragic moments. A fire in Bradford, the Heysel Stadium disaster when Liverpool played in the European Cup final. So you're growing up against the backdrop of that, where you love the sport. It's still our national game. You follow the game. But, you know, it's having a tough time. And at that time, a new UK television channel came on the air called Channel 4. Yeah, only our fourth channel, by the way. Fourth channel.
Don't want to rush into anything with all those channels.
Yeah. Exactly. We only had three channels, can you believe, on UK television at that time. And then a fourth channel started. And they came on TV, or came on the air, and they started to show some other sports from around the world that, and in the course of pre-internet world, you know, if you're watching a game that's a week old, tape delayed, you didn't know what had happened, you know, when the Chicago Bears had played the San Francisco 49ers or whatever. But it was thanks to my dad, really, because he started out of curiosity watching NFL highlights on a Sunday night. And as I said, they were tape delayed and they were a week old, but it didn't matter. We didn't know the scores. Right. And I just started watching it with him. And then we got to the end of the season and I said, oh, really, I'm quite enjoying this, because there was a razzmatazz about it. There was a slickness about the television production and presentation that we didn't have in the UK at the time. You saw the commentators in the booth, you know, so we're talking about John Madden, Pat Summerall, mm-hmm. young Al Michaels, Frank Gifford, you know, Dick Enberg. Who
just I'm absolute legends.
Yeah, Merlin Olsen. Maybe a little Merlin Olsen.
Merlin Olsen as well. Merlin Olsen was on the call. First Super Bowl I was ever allowed to watch live until the early hours of the morning was called by Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen. And it was the 49ers against the Bengals. And it was Montana to John Taylor with 34 seconds left or whatever it was. You know, these are things that, you know, I couldn't tell you what I was doing last week, apart from the Charlotte game. But these things are just, they're stuck in my brain. You know, you remember these big moments. So I just really got into it. You know, I loved it. And then from that kind of, they started to show a little bit of baseball as well. So I thought, oh, I'll get into that as well. But NFL football, you know, it really became a huge passion growing up alongside the, you know, the traditional sports that I played in England, like our football and cricket and things like that. So that's the background of how I kind of got so interested in it.
It's fascinating too, because sometimes I hear you saying that, and some Americans and our love for the beautiful game, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, is the total reverse of that, mm-hmm. right? Where, and you're living it now here in the United States, where you get up on early on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, and you get to kind of tap into what the soccer culture has become in the UK, what the Premier League has been, what that Division One ended up turning into now 40 years later, which is the best league in the world. So there's so many people. The game is growing here in the United States. There's no doubt about that because of the broadcast availability of now English soccer in the United States. So for me, what's your perspective on MLS, right? And we'll get you out of here in just a few minutes. We really appreciate your time today and look forward to getting you back here in Charlotte this weekend. But as a whole, right, you've been around soccer your entire life, and MLS has had some moments. And they've had some not so good moments, right? And it feels like at this time the league is trending, and the league is starting to garner some respect. Obviously, you're partnered with the league with Apple MLS Season Pass, which has been a massive opportunity for not just American fans but fans globally to see this league. Can you kind of sense the groundswell that is MLS growing into a global product?
Absolutely, I do. And I say that, you know, in the full realization that, you know, this is an incredibly competitive market. And you know, I'm not for one minute going to tell you that we're right on the precipice of challenging the top European leagues for, you know, being the best out there. You know, the European leagues have been established in most cases for, you know, over a century. You talked about the Premier League there. You know, when I was back in England, the Premier League, I used to call, you know, it became a Hollywood league. It was Hollywood because you turned up at the game, and if you were doing media jobs like mine, you were actually being requested on the match day. You're doing this, oh, because this is needed for NBC. This is needed for beIN Sports. This is needed, you know, for Al Jazeera, whatever, you know, whatever the channels around the world might have been showing it. And then when you went to a football league game, the difference was huge between, say, Premier League and Championship. The Premier League has become, you know, totally global. And for the most part, has had the best players, or not always, but you know, a lot of the best players anyway, and certainly the most revenue. Where MLS is right now is in a fascinating place because it's moved on light years from 1996, quite clearly. You look at the venues and you look at the fan bases, and they've grown exponentially. The stadiums now are outstanding. They're as good as anything around at the new soccer venues around the world. The investment in the training facilities. I'm absolutely blown away when I go to some of these training facilities now. What Kansas City have got, incredible. You know, Nashville got a relatively new training facility now. Outstanding. And I think players around the world are being drawn now in greater numbers and interest into MLS. And at all ages, not just near the end of their careers, but when they're in peak years still, because they're seeing the lifestyle, they're seeing the opportunity to play in this league with the fan bases, the stadiums, the facilities, so many different things. And it's a journey. You know, I mean, in terms of the Apple deal, this is year two of 10. So it's a journey, it's a progression, and I think it's a marathon, not a sprint. So the evolution is going to continue. The television deal is absolutely something that everybody else in the world, whatever sports league they're in, whatever country they're in, they're looking at and saying, this is really interesting. The idea of everything in one place, global streaming, very, very interesting. And I also think, just if we think about even just 2 years ago, I think if I came on a show like this and we talked about the broadcasting of Major League Soccer, we would almost certainly be talking straight away about the frustrations of blackouts and things like that. I think it's incredible how quickly we don't even think about, you know, the word blackout has gone from our vocabulary now when we talk about MLS. So, and the other sports, you know, as you look at regional sports networks and the challenges they're facing, you know, they're still in those worlds. So, you know, this journey is a long one, but it is absolutely, like you said, John, you know, it is moving in a very good direction. The trend clearly helps when you can bring the likes of Messi to the league and have the best player in the planet, the most recognizable player in the planet playing in this league. So no bad thing at all.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. We're seeing it here in Charlotte with Leye Labada. We've talked to people at the club who said he only wanted to come to Charlotte once he heard what Charlotte was all about. Once we made the pitch, he's like, I don't want to go to LA. I don't want to go to New York. I want to go to Charlotte. He's coming to begin his MLS adventure. We hope to see a cameo in the building. But I think he's emblematic of exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. And I think for every Messi, it's important that there's an Abada coming as well. And, you know, and an Almada in Atlanta.
Yeah. Staying, yeah.
You know, they also are very, very important. And I think, you know, some of the roster adjustments that will be made as the year goes on will also encourage even more of those very, very good younger players to come to this league. And you'll see these rosters get stronger and stronger. I mean, there's a reason for some of the parity. There's a reason for the salary caps down the years. I think if you hadn't had those 15, 20 years ago, the league, you know, is in a dangerous place. Right now, though, you can see with the way the foundations are so strong now for MLS, that's why things can loosen off a bit. And we'll start to see those rosters get even stronger, team by team, club by club. And ultimately, that is what's going to make the league bigger and help it grow and help it start to challenge some of those really big established leagues in Europe. Because it's all about players. It all comes down to play. If you've got quality on the field, people will watch it.
There's no doubt about that. I think many fans are going to be watching Saturday night on MLS Season Pass. It's Charlotte FC versus FC Cincinnati. We call this one, Tony, the Queen City Derby.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's a derby. I'm not sure if anybody else in the country knows that both these cities are called the Queen City, but they certainly are. And Danny and I will take any reason to create a derby and a rivalry here in the first 3 years of existence here in MLS. So cheers to you. Thank you so much for joining Charlotte Soccer Show today. It was a pleasure to hear you on the call on Saturday. And one thing we always hope for is that we'll be live on Sunday at 5 o'clock at Hopfly reviewing the match. And I'm just crossing my fingers that we're listening to some more Tony Husband calls of Charlotte FC goals. So again, I appreciate your time today. It's great to meet you, and thanks for joining Charlotte Soccer Show.
Great to join you both, and good luck in the Queen City Derby.
Thanks much.
For the crown, baby.